Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Gina's Groove Theory. It is November 13th, 2012. It is now 11:04 in the p.m. You're broadcasting live here with Gina's Groove Theory, your KXRW Long Beach, California, your community connection internet radio station, broadcasting live here. This is Gina. Welcome. And like we start off every show, like I start every show off, always got to give praise and thanks and glory to God first and foremost. Call him Creator, whatever you call him. You can call him Allah, whatever his name is. He's all one God. So we got to give him his praise and thanks, because without him, I wouldn't be here. Without you, I wouldn't be here as well. So much love. We're going to send a shout out to the big man upstairs saying thank you by Mary J. Blige. This is Mary J. Blige. Actually, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything that you've given us all, and may all of us have a blessed and beautiful evening tonight. And let's have a great show, you guys. Much praise. Here we go.
Lord.
everybody. You're back with Gina's Groove Theory. It is now 11:05 in the p.m. It is November 13th, 2012. We have, what, just about 12, 13 days before Thanksgiving, and we're going to be sitting down eating all that turkey, ham, and all that good family fun. Much love to all of you guys representing out here. Much love to Long Beach City College out there. Missing you guys this semester. I'll be back. Looking forward to seeing Cal State Dominguez Hills, you guys. You know, they're having enrollments up until November 30th. So just beware, if you guys are getting ready like me, transfer over to that four-year college, Cal State UC. November 30th is the deadline for Cal State Dominguez Hills. So if you guys want to get those in, you can go to csumentor.com and check it on out. See if you guys got, you know, hey, like I said, we got Obama back in for four more years, you guys, and, you know, education, he thrives for that. So you guys got to keep on top of your P's and Q's, you guys. Now, this is Gina's Groove Theory, your Long Beach KXRW Community Connection Internet radio station. I welcome you guys here. It is now 11:06. You guys know I've been kind of trying out a little bit of my new little studio and bringing it out there. Tonight's show, actually, I've been having an empowering. When I'm not on air, you guys know I'm out there doing PR, so I'm representing for everybody. I'm meeting, I'm mingling, I'm getting with communities, all communities. I step into L.A., I step in wherever I step, and I'm spreading the word, and that's what, like, my brother, the bishop, always says. You know, you tell 25 of your friends, and they'll tell 25 of their friends, and so on and so on. You know, I broadcast as far as worldwide. So to all my listeners out there in Germany and over in Europe, much love to you guys as well. Send a shout out to Shades of Africa. Shades of Africa is located at 101 East 4th Street, and that's located at the corner of Benito and 4th. And that's in Long Beach, California, 90802. And up for you IE people in the Inland Empire, Shades of Africa has a second store. So she's a chain. And then you can go slip next door here at her shop here in Long Beach and get your hair done as well, because she's representing a new kinky ways as well. So much love out there to you, Renee. Much love out there to my mentor who, a little while ago, I say around 5 o'clock, we were at City Hall. We give much praise and thanks, you guys. Give a great congratulations to my mentor. He is retiring finally after doing a long stint of working with us poor. We're a bunch out here in Long Beach. You know, we're a handful, and we got to give them praise and thanks. And thanks to Mayor Foster, as well as Assistant Mayor Garcia, as well as, and I saw you out there, Stephen, Mr. Neal. I guess you didn't know where I was telling you we were going to be at, but I guess we ended up at the same place. Tell you how God works. I asked Stephen Neal, Councilmember Stephen Neal, to attend Cherokee Morrison's proclamation today, and he said, "Oh, well, you know, Tuesdays are booked." Like, oh, yeah, no free time on Tuesday. Well, hey, I forgot. Tuesdays, you guys, is City Hall Day. So they're in City Hall meetings, and they have an agenda and a roster that goes way into 10, 11 o'clock at night. So much love out there. I saw you out there, Mr. Neal. Much love to all of you guys. And as well, we're going to go ahead. I'm going to drop a new cut on you guys. Let's see how you guys are going to be digging this. This is a little cut. It's a little raw. So, you know, for most of you guys out there that's used to my little mellowness, I'm going to go in and out of mellow, because tonight's show is pretty much about the power of ambition, what it takes, what it means to be successful. Some people define success by what kind of car you drive, where you live, how you dress, all of that. You know, and as you guys know, prior to 2002, I was a financial mongler myself. All it was about my money. Financial prosperity was all I could think about. And if I didn't have a couple of grand in my pocket, I thought I was broke. Now, today, as how I live, after getting to know my mentor and working with all these unique people, the most respectful people out there, the most prideful people, and they have a lot of integrity, the people that live out here on these streets. You know, sometimes you walk by them and you think maybe they're going to ask you for a quarter or something. They have more pride than a lot of people that I know out here in a daily life. So they have taught me a great deal of humility. And along with that, like I tell everybody, IQ is good. We all know what IQ is. It's that intellect. It's that intelligency level. But EQ is a far more better thing. So I'm going to share with you guys in tribute to, as David Burns, as well as far as toxic shame. You know, I talk to you guys a great deal about what I learned, whatever it is that you guys have, my professors out there who are listening, because you know I touched you guys all on. And, hey, by the way, you guys, I got LinkedIn. So you guys check me out on LinkedIn. I'm everywhere. I'm kind of working that social network and trying to work some things where we can get some community and some real good help out here, you know, so we can follow in the footsteps of Mr. Morrison. Which are big shoes to follow, so I must say that as well. So here we go. It is now 11:11 in the p.m. It's November 13th, actually 2012. Countdown to Turkey Day. Oh, my goodness. Going to be some eating, some sleeping, and some eating, and some sleeping, and some eating, you guys. That's what I plan on doing. This is Gina's Groove Theory. This is your KXRW, your community connection, internet radio station broadcasting live here out of Long Beach. Thank you guys for being there. I'm going to go ahead and drop this new one on you guys. It's called Little Freak, and it's Usher featuring Little Nicki Minaj. Let's hope she doesn't get no plastic surgery, guys. Here she goes, Little Freak. Check it out. First on Gina's Groove Theory.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Hey, Polo.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah.
Hey, you ready for this?
Let's go. It's on for, baby.
You want me to get you something, Daddy?
Hey, girl. Hey, are you the business? So what's the business? Don't be shy. I'm just talking to you, girl. Hey, ma. Yo, where your man at? I know you got that, cause you too fine to be single out your girl. He at home, but he done slipped up. I shoot this girl up, and what I'm about to do, he'll feel I did him wrong. Cause I'm about to have a menage with his lady and some freaks at the bar. Who like chicken with a star? I told her. Yeah.
Hey, everybody, you're back with Gina's Groove Theory. It is now 11:15 in the p.m. You're broadcasting here in Long Beach, California. This is your KXRW, your community connection internet radio station, and I'm Gina, and this is The Theory. Thank you guys for coming. Thank you guys for showing up. Much love to all of you guys for representing. I hope you like that. A little freak by much love to my sweetie face out there. You know, she'd be dropping it down to me. Let me know what sounds good. And for you some more slow movers out there, I did download some Meta Baker. So, I mean, that's going to be touching on when we're kind of easing on into a real easy subject tonight. And tonight's show is all about the power of ambition. I have taken off pretty much the last show that I did was maybe 7 days ago it's been. And in those 7 days, I have been refining and enhancing and building myself and building my power and my self-esteem. And also, too, encouraging, being more steady, being more focused. And I was dropped. I tell you, God is a beautiful thing. Sometimes, you know, when I'm in, I do this radio station by myself a lot. You know, I mean, I run everything. I learn everything on my own and everything. But the case is with social networking and all the, you know, all the technical things, you know, I'm kind of learning slowly but surely. But I tell you how a couple of angels dropped me a couple of Twitters. And, you know, much love to all you guys that can follow me on Twitter. Check me out, Twitter. Follow me. I'll follow you as well. I'm learning the possibilities of Twitter. And I had two angels, guardian angels, who followed me, and they dropped me one dropped me a series of videos. And these videos, pretty much one was a 7-hour-long video. And you guys, it was just totally amazing. It had me paralyzed. Me and my mentor listened to it for the whole straight 7 hours, because it pretty much basically it kind of defined and gave us clearance that as the, how we have lived our lives, how he has taught me to live my life, how I went from being financially prosperity minded to spiritually prosperous minded. It was a long journey here, and it took a lot of life experiences, and it took a lot of what I do and how I live. And most of you guys know, back in September, you know, I was critically injured, and which kind of gave me a, you know. I mean, usually I'm always encouraged. I'm always steadfast. You can't get me down. No one can get me down, but the Lord, you know, up above can only do that. So with that, I'm always steadily pushing. So I kind of backed up and slacked up a little bit and had been doing a lot of thinking about, you know, the people that I deal with. You guys know Bishop Brett comes out, represents, and we talk a lot about friends and how to distinguish what's fake and who's real and who is really in our corner. And I guess over the period of time and over the period of years, you know, you only really have maybe a handful of people that you can really depend on. And with that, then there's a lot of mistrust going on. So the shows that we have should be more so empowering. I try to bring all of you guys out here with all of your input so that you guys can give what it is that you guys have to bring, so we can collectively get together and come to some conclusions where we can kind of live a much more better community life, a much more family orientated, and you know, unity is what we need. Awareness, like I say, is key, you know. As far as getting people together, that's a hard thing to do, and working out here these past going on 10 years alongside my mentor and outreaching to the people who go unheard and unseen most of the time, because they really want to be unseen, you know, and getting to know them and becoming one and having a kinship with them and learning that, you know, no one is no different than anybody. And I think we all deserve the right to live in an equally happy environment. And I think it can be done. You have some out there that say it's idealistic to say that we all can live in peace and we can all have tranquility. It can be done. It takes a big effort, and it takes not just one person, not just two. You know, I'm going to be bringing out some community people like my cousin Johnny out there. Got to represent for him as well out there in L.A., you know, out there in Hoover Crip Hood, out there making a difference. Him and Trayvon Williams, Tukie Williams' son out there, started a youth basketball team some years ago, and also a community development program as well out of their own pockets, just like I do this out of my own pocket. There are certain people, there are a handful of selected people out here who are trying to make a difference. And no, we don't have that much money. Hey, you know, I'm not Oprah. Hey, you know, ain't no Bill Gates are going on. There's nobody really financing. But what's incredible is that you don't really need the power of Oprah's money, and you don't really need the power of anybody's money. You just need the power of ambition. And that's what tonight's show is about, the power of ambition. Does success mean happiness to you? You know, success, I always thought about success as, you know, having everything that I want and be able to make shots and call and control everything. I mean, the world is my oyster. And like I tell a lot of people, of course, I say the world is your oyster. You do need to crack it open. But what kind of input is it that you have to put into it? Is it that, oh, you go to work, or you run over people, or you get over on people, or you cut throats, or corporate world. That's the world I came out of. That's the world that brought me into this world, was corporate world. And we all know corporate world is kind of cut and dry, it's hardcore, it's cutthroat, it's dog eat dog, and everybody's for themselves, every man for themselves, you know. Nobody's gonna reach out a hand. Mary, John, it's none of that Titanic going on. If you're sinking, you're sinking. Bottom line is, see, that's in corporate. And then yes, okay, you can look at them, and a lot of people say, well, they got a lot of money, and then of course some of them are from families of money and so forth and so on. And like you guys know, I'll tell you, you know what, America really was, it became rich off of free labor. And that was free labor of every individual that was able to pull, walk, pinch, cook, feel, pick, whatever the case may be, carve, chisel. Whatever it was, everybody paid at the cost of, you know, how people are lavishly living now. But see, living lavishly doesn't really mean financial. It doesn't mean money. Living lavishly can be, you don't make that much. You barely have a couple of dollars. All you do is you can pay your rent, you can pay your car notes, you can pay your bills, and you can keep on pushing, and you can do something to be an assistance to someone else. Back in 2004, when I came out here and I started outreaching, in the beginning it was quite hard, because when you're volunteering your time and you don't have a job, and so I was in a legal battle with civil trials and wrong, workers' comp and all that, and you know, by law you can't work because it's fraud. But the case is, when you're in between that limbo, and there's a lot of people out there that are in that limbo in between. Well, I'm in a litigation with my job, my employer, my ex-employer, but I'm in litigation for, you know, what is rightfully mine, or what was ever done to you, or what was damaged to you. In my case, you know, it was mental, physical, and all kinds of disorders that I did occur from it. But the bottom line is, see, all of that I paid just to have that high-paying, costly corporate job, in the end, I found out that it's not just about what it is you have in your pocket. It's how you use it. In regards to Mr. Jim Bourne is the author and narrator of Power of Ambition. And actually, he's a white-collar Caucasian man, looks like it could be Jewish, who pretty much lays it down. He tells it just how it is. And then, you know, the day before that, I listened to my brother, who you guys know is a bishop, he's a pastor, and he always talks about tithing and offering and putting your DNA in. Well, Mr. Rowan had a different way of putting it. He had the dollar cents, but then he said that 10%, yes, that first 10% that you get out of that dollar, that 10 cents, so look at it like this. Say you have a dollar. You take that first 10 cents and you apply that to a charity. Then you take that second 10 cents and you apply that to self-enterprise. And then that third 10 cents, you go ahead and you borrow that out, you loan that out. So kind of like low-key, interest. Yeah. My sweetie face, she knows all about it. She'll tell you all about it. Doubling up those income, those assets, by loaning someone some money, and then, hey, double it up. Hey, pay me back twice, pay me back. Hey, that's that third 10 cents. And then that 70 cents is just profit. I got to break it down to you. Pretty much. I mean, if you can live today in it, how he defined it was successful. Does successful mean that you're happy? And I know a lot of people who are successful, and think about it, a lot of people out there are successful. You have movie stars, famous people, they're making a gang of money, but they're not really happy. You have them dying in overdoses, and you have them dying in situations where they kill themselves, and you say, what the hell did, just like Mr. Jones, who jumped off this bridge over here, St. Thomas Bridge. A lot of people said, yeah, he's a well-known director, but what is his last name, Jones, I believe? He's a well-known, and his brother still has their company. He's a second holder of it. Why did he jump off that bridge? You know, I never got to hear what happened with the letters, but in some senses, you know, inside you can bear so much turmoil and so much grief and so much weight. Just that, just the weight. Like I tell people, everyone has a cross to bear. We all have our own cross. Then there's some out there who like to have others bear their cross. So that means they give you. And it, for a while there, I was putting on everybody's cross. I had my back, Notre Dame, hunchback of Notre Dame full of crosses. The bottom line is we all need to carry our own cross, but we can't carry each other's crosses in the sense of, not as to bear it, but as to walk with you. See, in helping and assisting and being united with someone is a lot different from just taking on the brunt of someone else's, you know, their problems or their cross or their, you know, their weight. You know, once you free yourself, and just like the power of ambition, I'm going to run over some steps with you. I'll give you guys some keys, some pretty much cut and dry, run it through to you, see how you feel about it. Just like Mr. Rowan said, and the reason the two people, actually the second tweeter was a how to successfully use Twitter and Facebook to your advantage without even paying any money. And I thought that was pretty odd, too, telling you step by step what it is that you need to do to be able to do. It's like, this just came in a Twitter, you know, and someone following me. Much love to all you guys out there following me. I do have a lot of love. And all my blog talk radio hosts out there, I see you guys. You guys are hitting me up like, really? I'm starting to get a really big following, and that's a really good thing. And I'm very happy that it's a diverse group of people. I mean, as far as cockroach sports, as far as divine golden lilies, as far as all of you guys out there. I mean, from religion as on down to self-talk, on down to woman empowerment, all of you guys out there, much love, and you guys are representing for me. And I'm going to be sharing that with you as also. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to tie in those ambition. You know, we're going to go ahead and take a little break. We're going to check in with the time. I want you guys to grab your dictionaries or grab your Google it. And when I get back after the music break, you let me know what it is that you think ambition is, the definition of ambition. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to Google it and see what I can find in Webster's too as well. The European style, of course, you know, hey, we'll just take a gamble at it. It is now 11:28 in the p.m. This is Gina's Groove Theory, broadcasting live out of Long Beach, your KXRW, your community connection internet radio station, broadcasting live. Thank you guys for joining. I'm going to go ahead and, hey, let's see what I got up in here for you guys. Oh, much love, much love. We're going to go ahead and send this shout out there. Hey, we're going to go bump the youngsters right out here because send much love to them as well. And then we'll touch back with some Anita Baker. So here you go with Chris Brown. Don't judge me.
I don't want to go there. We should never go there. Why you wanna go there? I guess I gotta go there. You're hearing rumors about me, and you can't stomach the thought of someone touching my body when you're so close to my heart. I won't deny what they're saying, because most of it is true, but it was all before I fell for you. So please, babe, please don't judge me, and I won't judge you, cause it could get ugly before it gets beautiful. Please don't judge me, and I won't judge you, and if you love me, then let it be beautiful. be beautiful. Let it be beautiful. Let it be beautiful. Everything I say right now, it's gonna be used in another fight. And I've been through this so many times. Can we change the subject? You're gonna start asking me questions like, was she attractive? Was she an actress? Maybe the fact is, you're hearing rumors about me and saw some pictures online saying they got you so angry, making you wish you were blind. Before we start talking crazy, saying some things we'll regret, can we just slow it down? Gonna make us laugh. Take me as I am, not who I was. I promise I'll be the one that you can trust. So please.
Everybody, we're back with Gina's Groove Theory. It is now 11:33 in the p.m. I hope you guys liked that. That was Don't Judge Me by Chris Brown. Much love out there to all you guys chilling out. And this next one is to inspire you guys. Like the whole show is about the power of ambition. It's how far you want to go. How high can you go? What is it that you can do? How much can you overexcel to assist someone else? See, not to overexcel, to overcome, to step over, but to give out a hand. How far can you go? Next cut is Fly, Ariana. So, you guys, hold on tight. Fly. This is Fly. So, for all you guys out there who are trying to get somewhere, who are steadfast and are down with making things happen, and you know which way I'm going, it's not all about what it is that you got in your pocket. Just like Mr. Rowan says, he's like, he said, once you get to a certain point in your life, doesn't matter how much money that you have, once you get to a certain point, your friends or so-called friends or the people around you are going to start telling you once you're successful. And remember, keep in mind, success is not defined by what you have, what you drive, where you live. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with being happy. See, when you're happy, doesn't really matter what you have, doesn't matter how much you have, you don't really worry about the little things. All of the most important things matter to you, and that means family, job, what it is your loves, taking out time, and giving out equal time to all of the aspects in your life. That's how you get balance. And balance is what we all do need, balance, structure. With that, I'm going to go ahead and send this shout out there to you guys out there. Fly. When I'm feeling when I'm feeling free, I'm feeling good. And after we left the city hall last night, we had to go ahead and bump it because much love again to my mentor. Happy retirement to you. Much love to you. And it was my pleasure to be there as well. I know you're flying high. You better fly. You better fly. You got a lot of work out here to do because now you're free. When you're free, all you can fly in the world is just your sky. There you go, you guys. Here's Rihanna. Fly.
I came to win, to fight, to conquer, to thrive. I came to win, to fight, to prosper, to rise. They guns out aiming at me, but I become Neo when they aiming at me. May, me against them, me against enemies, me against friends. Somehow they both seem to become one. A sea full of sharks and they all smell blood. They start coming and I start rising. Must be surprising, I'm just a margin. I win, thrive, soar, higher, 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 more, fire.
To thrive, to conquer, to thrive, okay.
I represent an entire generation. I hear the criticism loud and clear. That is how I know that the time is near. See, we become alive in a time of fear. And I ain't got no motherfucker time to fear. Cry my eyes out for days upon days. Such a heavy burden placed upon me. But when you go hard, your nays become yays. Yankee Stadium with Jays and Kanye.
To fly, to conquer, to fly, to change. Life, I came to win, to survive, to prosper, to rise, to blow.
Everybody, you're back with Gina's Groove Theory. It is now 11:39 in the PM. This is November 13th, 2012. Representing here at Long Beach, this is your KXRW, your community connection internet radio station. Thanking you guys for being here. That was Fly by Rihanna. So just out of respect, we're going to go ahead and take it on in, get a little bit of more spiritual binding, and then I'm going to have to drop. When we come back from this break, I'm going to go ahead and drop it on you about what the power ambition does and how I interpreted it, and as well as most of my friends out there who I've touched you with it. You guys out there listening, you guys give me a call and let me know, give me your input, because pretty much when it was dropped on me in the Twitter, the whole series of videos were dropped on me on Twitter. When it was dropped on me, it said was there was no fees, and pretty much everybody pretty much charges you for any types of encouragement, inspirational things, you know, self-help, you know, and they charge you. But all they wanted is that you give it, that you share it with like-minded people. And that means that it works well for community. It works well for people. All they ask is that you share it with like-minded people. So people who have the same like-mind as you do, who are trying to be encouraged, trying to improve themselves, trying to upgrade. You guys know how I do it with that upgrade. Upgrade themselves, trying to be better, trying to stay moving. And also, too, hope, like my mentor had to he had to show us how to do that, get that sack lunch full of hope. Sack lunch, it could be, hope comes in all forms. Hope is offering up your hand or giving it out to someone else for someone else's betterment, too. And putting yourself, saying, hey, you know what, I'll be all right. And knowing and trusting and believing in that as well, too. Being in service to others really has changed my life. And you guys know, I'm going to drop it on you about my story. I'm going to run it through you on my story and how I got where I am today and how that power of ambition pretty much described everything that I went through. Had I not ever saw, you know, got that dropped on me in a Twitter, I would have never known truly. You know, I hear my brother say, you know, you're like, you're blessed, you're highly favored. I hear a lot of praise and all that. And I know I'm spiritually prosperous because I feel good. You know, I feel good about what I do, how I do. And that's that. I mean, that's a good thing today. And pretty much that, see, I'm successful. I may not have all that money that other people might think that, like I used to think was much more important. But I have something more than that. I'm happy today. I'm happy with the people that I'm around. I'm happy with my loved ones. I'm happy to be doing what I'm doing. And that right there is what you call success. Define success is being happy with whatever you have is until you can do better. There we go. So I'm going to send a shout out here. This is the last. I'm going to get you guys motivated and inspired because I'm going to be bringing it back with you. Here it is. Trinity 5-7, Mary, don't weep. Much love to you, Cherokee. Yeah.
I want to tell you a story about two sisters, Mary and Martha, whose brother now lay sick. And it was that same man who Jesus made rise from the dead. Now, just in case you're doubting the power that Jesus possesses, we want to give you some encouragement. Trinity, let's do this.
Hope, Mary, don't you weep.
Bye.
everybody. This is Gina's Groove Theory. It is now 11:47 in the p.m., slowly approaching November 14th. Just about 11 days to Turkey Day? Turkey Day, you guys. Going to be some turkey, ham, and all that good fixings on the turkey, all on the Thanksgiving dinner table. It is now, once again, 11:47. This is Gina's Groove Theory, your KXRW Community Connection Internet radio station broadcasting here in Long Beach, you guys. Thank you for being here. And as well, you know what, I was thinking about doing some outbound calls. So you know how we're going to get down, right? I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to touch a few people. When we come back, I'm going to see if I'm going to go ahead and make some calls. We're going to call out and see who's going to call. As opposed to having them call in, we're going to call them. What about that, people? Gina always got something going on. So here it is. As this show is going, the power of ambition. Ambition takes you. It takes drive. It takes a lot. So with that, stay motivated. Stay going. Let's stay steadfast towards success, which is happiness, not money. But we have to go ahead and bump this. God bless the child that got his own. And like a friend of mine was saying today, hey, can't nobody care the way to you? That is totally opposite of the power of ambition. Power of ambition, I'll bring it back to you, but no, put it to you like this. If you're the kind of person that says, well, I'll do that, I'll do this with such and such, but wait a minute, I got to take care of my own bills? I got to handle my own stuff? Well, I got my own bills. So if that's, and the way Mr. Rowan says it, if that's what comes out of your mouth, well, if this thing comes out of your mouth and someone says to do something for someone else's, I got my own bills to pay. He said, yes, and you will be doing that for the rest of your life. And I know how that felt because I ended up telling my close family member that just not too many weeks ago. The bottom line is this: if your feet are hurting now and they're working hard, they're sore from working, doing what it is that you do, as opposed to putting it in to what, say, sowing seed into where the garden is. We all have a garden. It's a garden. We all have a garden. And all of our gardens connect. And in our gardens, if we're out there planting, and just like you said, no, you don't need, there's no need to take need to the ground. You got to take seed to the ground, not need. And need, that's just an over-exaggerated word, because need, is it need or want? Sometimes you got to kind of define what it is that you really necessarily need. Sometimes I have to even back up and think like, oh, my God, before I get ahead of myself, well, I got this, I got that. You know, don't get too hurried about it. As long as you follow, and I must say it worked for me. It got me $5 in heaven bucks. And as far as this run, he says it brings you into what is actually how he it. Not in a spiritual way. He brings it not from the spiritual side. See, I'm more from the spiritual side, not from the religious side, but I'm more so the reality, humanitarian side. But he brings it just from the bottom line. It's called a financial independence. That's basically what it is. It's financial independence. And with that, I'm going to drop it to you about the whole little, how you break the dollar down and how you, and what it is about a wage and what we should be installing our children is wages and profits. You got wages and profits. Wages are what you work hard for the rest of your life, and you can get it every 2 weeks or once a month or every two or whatever. And if you're lucky, it's a 31 month, you can get it 3 times a month, and you'll be doing that for the rest of your life too. Profit, totally different thing. See, profit, and profit is not just money. So let's say, I know profit. When you say profit, you think of dollars, you think of cents, you think of greenbacks and dead presidents. But profits are the things that are overhead. So it's like, okay, let's say I make $1 million. What do I do with that $1 million? I take that $1 million and I invest that $1 million into charity. Well, of course, you guys know what I'm going to do. I'm going to invest it into the people. I'm invested into my community. I'm invested into the people out there that need it because I'm trying to make them grow. I want to grow with them. I think we all can grow. These gardens here, see, my garden has to grow as well. So I try to, you know, I try not to, even the weeds, I don't even want to pull them out. I just try to, you know, let them lingerie for a little while. But hey, even sometimes you got to pull those weeds out and, you know, keep it pushing. The bottom line is we need to look at how we sow our seed into our community, into our children, our families. There are all kinds of traditions and all kinds of cultures that bring all of this together. You have And like I said in the very beginning of the show, when I took it over on my own without my family, when I left their station and came to my own, when I said that, my first thing is first and foremost, I'll drop anything when it comes down to, you know, what I need to bring to you guys, communities. And like I said, there's communities in every state. There's so many. You know, there's so many, and right in the inner city. I had someone who figured that if you lived that way towards Orange County, that from where we are, we're in L.A. County, and Orange County, it's a difference. No, right in between that whole distance in between us and Orange County is those pockets of, you know, same poverty, homeless. You know, I mean, Newport Beach. Well, one thing I can say about Newport Beach, I can give them much praise for SOS. One of my guests came on, they were talking about it, and I kind of had to smile. Yeah, SOS is actually an assistance out there in Newport Beach. You have to be a resident of Orange County, but it's a collective of rich people who give money every day. They sit and as well, they sit there and do the volunteering as well. So when someone mentioned my guest gave money, he's like, well, they didn't do. No, you know what? Some years ago, they wrote me a check. And these are all little old white rich people in Newport Beach, all sitting in this one. Hey, SOS, much love. Anybody in the Orange County area who's looking for some assistance and some, hey, they even have, hey, food and all kinds of things going up in there. You know, going up in there. Those are people out there doing a difference. See, they're making a difference. And then they put their time in. They probably ain't got nothing else to do, but hey, they're down there doing that. If you ain't got nothing good to do with your time, if you ain't got nothing prosperous to do with your time, do something good. If you got nothing good to do, then I don't know what to tell you on that one. That's totally way beyond me. When we get back from the break, let's check in with the time. It is now 11:54. We're slowly approaching November 14th. Much love out there. It's going to be Wednesday, right? Oh, wait a minute. Street Sweeper Day. Got to set the alarm. All right, you guys. This is Gina's Groove Theory, your KXRW Community Connection Internet Radio Station broadcasting here out of Long Beach. I'm going to go ahead and drop. Let's drop a. By the way, you guys, go ahead and drop this one, right? Secret Garden, you guys. So go ahead, chill back, lay back. I'm going to make a few calls, and I'll be back two. Much love. Here it is, Secret Garden, the Fellas, Quincy Juke Joint. You know the track.
Tell me a secret. I just want to know about any secret of yours. I want to know about my special secret. Because tonight I want to learn all about the secrets in your garden. Make it right for you.
Popping him a call. He's going to be one of my outbound calls. Pretty much, it is now, let's check in with the time. It is 12:02 a.m. It is November 14th, 2012. Representing here in Long Beach, this is Janice Groove Theory, you guys. Welcome back as well. I hope you did like that secret garden. We were just talking about it. What did I tell you about that garden? I'm right on time, right? Okay, now, see. You know, they knew how to, you know, seed, not need the garden. So let's go ahead. I'm going to bring it to you. The power of how I did this, actually how I worded the show. Most of you guys up there on Facebook and who gets my texts as well, you guys know how I wrote it. Pretty much the show goes as follows. Power of ambition. What what do you consider successful? Does success mean happiness? How to define success? Tonight, community activist, mom, outreach specialist, human service major, transfer student to Cal State Dominguez. They'll be doing that spring 2003. Yeah, I'm going to do that. I feel, yeah, it's all good. And writer as well. I'm going to share my refined idea of what success means to me, as opposed to what it used to mean to me. Success, like so many other people, you know, I figured success was more so a, you know, it was about what, you know, what, how much money you made or what your status quo was, and this was pretty much money driven and, you know, very, I would say kind of a rough. I mean, in the sense of when it comes to when you put so much weight onto materialistic things and you hold things too close to you, too tight to you, and you start to idolize things and then you don't give, you know, back the praise and thanks. Like I was telling a friend today, you know, even though I don't care what it is, no matter what we've been through, where we're going and where life is going to take us, the bottom line is thank you very much for all of your help. See, as far as the power of ambition, I'm going to break it down to you. We're going to go over this in steps and stages. I'll be getting a text soon. I did let the bishop know he needs to come on in and call. I sent him the series of videos. He's like, oh, well, I couldn't get to watch it all. And so I was like, well, if you watched it at all and you paid any attention, then, you know, you would would know, and you would watch the whole 7 hours. Especially, you guys can download that on YouTube. The Power of Ambition, and it's by Jim G-I-M, R-O-N-I-N. That's The Power of Ambition. You guys need to check it out. Not only is the substance and the content right on the money. I had to go ahead and send it to Mr. Neal, to council member Stephen Neal. He touched me right back quickly, and he was like, yeah, that's right on point. The bottom line is it's the person who is narrating the series of videos, and his real dry matter-of-factly humor. He's very, very I would have to say, intriguing man who he may, you could just play it in the house, just let it roll through the house. Like, you know, even my son Cortez stepped in, he's like, what is that? You know, just let it roll through the house. Because pretty much what it's saying is how do you get to be where you are today, and it's not by stepping on anybody else. How he put it, and he put it just like this, if the way that you get your gratification of being successful financially is by walking over, stepping on others, harming anybody in any old kind, any way, any form, any, just say what I would say, ill will, ill-gotten thoughts, meanings, whatever, purpose, motives, whatever, for any of that, to blow up. Bottom line is, you're going to fail. And that's pretty much, and I have seen the test, I can testify that, you know, maybe back in the day, people didn't get their stuff back real quick, or, you know, I'd be sitting in motion. I see it before it even happens. I see what they do before it even happens. That's how quick it is. So with the time running and evolution and the world turning, and as you guys know, it was just 2011, and now it's about to be 2013. Time is moving fast, and what we should do is utilize our time in healthy, wholesome, and balanced ways, and that means in life. So if in fact, you know, your come up and your success, or, you know, however you got to where you are, is just on the neck of somebody else, then, you know, for one, you won't have it that long, and for one, you're not even happy, and most of the time, and frankly, just like how he said, you know, most of them take their lives, you know, they're just so miserable. I mean, you had to, well, I killed myself and I had millions and millions of that. Don't you wonder? You know, it's like, okay, well, they're miserable inside. It all has to And like he offers, if you have any type of spiritual guidance in your life or you believe in spiritual things like we do, you know, being that, you know, I do honor my Native American heritage as well. We have our traditions and there are things that we practice that are more so towards trying to get a better well-being, a better well-feeling. And so the past week, just that 7 hours, the whole 7 hours, we listened to it straight. It was just that empowering. And pretty much it was over. It was like everything that he said was basically all the same thing when you really think about it. But the case is he said it and he drilled it. And then by the time that we were listening, you know, done listening, all you could do is sit there and say, okay, well, what is it you have to do? See, like they say, faith with no works is, you know, nil, you know. And also, too, you know, I'm not here to say God, you know, requires us to do anything to gain anything. But he does require one thing. The one thing he does want us all to do is love one another. Be, you know, a hand to each other. To love one another and to care for each other as human, as men, as man. And that's what he wants. That's the one thing we do know he wants. I don't know how much he is. I don't know if he wants you to proclamate or whatever the case may be, and all that extra. You know, I'm not here on that one, but I know what he does want us to do is treat your neighbor with, you know, I mean, they're in the Ten Commandments. You know, if you do some shit to your neighbor, you know, even if you, you know, throw chicken over their house, something like that, you know, that's some New Orleans right there. But if you do any of that old wicked old stuff, you know, to, you know, your neighbor, then, you know, that means, you know, you pretty much scar yourself and you take the burden on the weight of, you know, there's so many things that you can do. When you do, well, I know for me personally, I don't feel comfortable telling somebody about that's not real, not true. I don't feel comfortable, you know, lying, you know. So I try to steer away from that. Now, no one can argue with you that, you know, not saying nothing is not lying. But the case is, even with that, I feel like I'm holding something, or, you know, or I know something. And it's an uncomfortable feeling. So I like to kind of roll pretty much like, you know, just free, you know, free. And I'm learning how to issue my, and to equally, you know, share my time and my attention to my loved ones as well. And he made it a point. He made it a point. The first thing that you should do, you know, when you're on this journey to getting to wherever you want to go, be it you have to define, let's just go step by step. You guys, go ahead and grab your pens and pieces, grab your books. And most of you guys up there that got my Facebook, you guys can go on my Facebook page, Gina's Groove Theory, or either Gina Envy, Not White, and you guys can check it out. I had to post it. You know, I had to post it, you guys. You guys want me to tag you, did I tag you? But, pretty much. It's a pretty powerful, the main thing is the content, the person who was bringing it, because you guys are going to be like, oh, no. Yeah, I don't want to even say it because it might kind of sound kind of biased, and kind of, you know, and I don't want no, I love everybody, but the case is, you're like, what? Giving up game like that? And it's righteous game, too. And that's what's really nice about it. It's the unlikeliest character bringing to you the most unlikeliest thing that will come out of his mouth. I mean, you know, by any means, and it's powerful. So, actually, it's spelled R-O-H-N, Jim Rohn, R-O-H-N. And how he started, he said, this is how you got to do it. He said, you have to plan your success. Plan to success. So he says, it doesn't matter how many years and how many months or whatever, but that in how much money, he said, a lot of people, they say they don't want to be rich, and, you know, they don't want to be, you know, of course, you know, people are going to say, oh, you're rich, and you're rich, we can't get into heaven, and he's a character. He never laughs, but he has a lot of jokes in between and doing the whole 7 hours. I mean, he's cutting up, but it's so funny, but it's real. How he said to do it is decide how many years you want. It could be if you want to be 100, say, in the next 2 years, I want to have 100,000, that's all I want. I just want to barely make, I want to make 200 grand, you know, a year. And I want to have that in, say, 2 years, I want to at least have a million in 2 years. So you plan that, and you equal that as into how many years. And my plan was five. I rolled with five. And I wrote with 2.5. He said, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to want to be rich and nothing like that. You don't have to, you know, you decide. You know, you decide. You know, because, you know, the conscience, you know, will tell you that you just want to barely make it. And, you know, you don't, you know, and then also, too, like he said, you know, your friends are going to come and tell you, you know, oh, well, you know, rich men, it's hard to get in. It's like getting in, for a rich man to get into heaven, it's like a camel through the eye of a needle or something like that. And he said, you know what? The way he explained it to the friends that were coming telling him this, he pretty much he said, well, I'll take my chances with God on that one because I'll just have to take my chances. He said, but what he did with his money, at the age of 25, he was broke. At the age of 31, he was a millionaire. At the age of 25, he was broke. 31, he was a millionaire. Bottom line is, like, he said he'll take his chances. It's not the content of how much money he has, because what he called it was, is he said financial freedom. That's what he calls it, financial freedom. It's nothing but God dollars and heaven books to me, but it's got financial freedom. And he also said, you can have fine. You suppose if you're happy with what you got, you have to learn to appreciate what you have and cherish what you have. Until you do what you have to do, and every day dedicate some of your time to family, the job, the outside entrepreneurship, the friends, and whatever the case may be. He didn't speak too much about friends, but equally. And he also made mention, is when you're at work, you're at work. When you're out with your family, you're out with the family. Don't ever work them together. So in other words, don't be on a vacation with your family and you're on your laptop doing something for, you got a report to do for work. He's like, oh no, no, no. Don't integrate any of that sharing time with any aspect. Combine them. Stay steady. Dedicate that time to what you're going to do as far as your job, on a boss's clock, whatever the case may be. Then you into what your desires, your hobbies, or what it is that you are creating, your ideas, what you got cracking. Equal time, black kids, equal time. He said, okay, you know, sitting down having dinner at the table. Even brought back that concept as well to think about as well. So with that, how he explained, and I said mine's five years. I gave myself to make 2.5. He said it starts with, power of ambition starts with enlightened self-interest. Enlightened self-interest. That means your entrepreneurship. Taking special interest in what you're doing. Special self-interest. That means investing. And like you said, the thing about the wages. Oh, you know what? Wages you'll be working for to get every once or twice or whenever. Profits. They're endless. And you know what? In a sense, too, they're taxable. Tax-free. Really don't tell nobody I told you that, but yeah, in a sense they are. Depending on if you turn that into a nonprofit organization, that's what we're talking about, charitable things. No, nothing bad. Anyways, as well, so self-interest. So that means putting it into you, putting the time into you in all aspects of your life. So that means, like I said, dedicating that equal time to each. And I must say that, you know, I'm acquiring that before I even got to see the whole DVD before I was even introduced. And that's what's good to me. And then he said, first thing you can do after you have enlightened self-interest is be service to others. Be service. He said the first thing. And also, you be in transition. Say you got something going on here, you work on it. Every day, at the end of the day, if you can't honestly, and he said, he made it quite clear, and it's so funny, he said, don't trick yourself. And this is a Caucasian man. He said, don't trick yourself out and say, oh, you're doing a whole lot, but you're not really doing nothing. He said, at the end of the day, there's no progress. If you haven't moved one thing and there's nothing, and he said, you know, for people like myself, who can't keep up with everything that they do because they got so much to do, write it down. Keep a journal because you're going to need that anyway, especially being that you're running a radio show. Or basically, because whatever you do, you, if you can't keep up with it, then you have to go ahead and write it down. Wait a minute. You know what? Hold that thought. Let's see. I think I do have someone. I just say hello. I'm not sure if he wanted to say hello. Well, what? Dude, you know, let's say something. Let's say hello, you guys. Hold this thought. Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hey. Did you?
Hey, talk.
Why didn't you just push? Hello. Hey. Yeah, I see. Thank God I got that iPhone technology and I could get eyes all over the place. Why didn't you push one?
I did. Twice.
What the hell's wrong with your phone? See, look. We're looking. I don't know what it's something about your phone. Hi, everybody. Let me go ahead and introduce you. Okay, I'm sorry. I mean, you know what? You should have sent me that text a long time ago.
Because
I don't see anything that says that you're huh?
No, I said that's okay. I was listening. And I was just like getting pretty tired. So, but
well, everybody, it's Hawk.
Hi, this is Brother Hawk, and
hi.
First, I want to say is congratulations, my cousin, for receiving his award for his service. And then, Gina, I want to thank you for being part of our lives. It means a lot. It means a lot. And everyone out there, she's the one that taught me things along with my cousin. So she's like my mentor, too. So.
Hey, gosh. you know what? Come on. That's how we roll, right? I mean.
Right. Right, right.
No,
but
I still
want to thank you because people don't think, and that's like in our tradition, being Indian, you know, we always acknowledge, you know, everyone. So it's just out of respect. But can I talk a little bit about the topic you were doing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Successful to me is not having a bunch of money, but it's having friends, relatives walk in your footsteps and, you know, support you, and then you do the same thing. Love your children, having a wife or a woman to lay with. Warm body, and then and you go out there and you help other people
there
in
you
need,
go.
And you just got to combine all that stuff because we're roving around all the time. Things change, bam, 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 and so you have to. Maybe change the way you walk a little bit because of what's going on, and then go back and then continuing servicing or you know, doing the other things that make you happy. In my case, like Friday when the home doctor visit came and sent me to the hospital. And it was funny, today I had congestive heart failure that was starting, but they actually stopped it from happening because I have bad lungs and a bad heart. But the doctor said today, I said, Hawk, you have a problem. Here you are having chest pains, can't breathe. Your blood pressure was way super high. And the first thing I thought of is, you spend too much time trying to outreach and not taking care of yourself. And that's one thing you definitely need to do, or you're going to end up like I am. I think part of the reason why I do that is because the bad dreams I have about military service and stuff. I have weird dreams all the time. And they like to call it flashback. I don't really call it flashback. I just call it remembering what happened. But it's back deep buried in my mind, and it comes out when I sleep. And it's, you know, scary, reminds me of things that I did. And really what it taught me was that the government's greedy. If they want something for someone, they're going to go over there and take it. But they call it in national interest, you know. But that's right. Not so. But
that's right.
I like your topic. It's very different for everyone. Everyone changes their footsteps, their way, what they need to do. So it's not the same for everyone, because people are all different. That's why we're all different colors and all that stuff. And you just got to change your footsteps. And another thing is, you got to love yourself too. That's a very important thing. If you love yourself enough, you can go out and do that. And love other people and you know, respect them no matter what their situation is. So, and that's about all I got to say.
What you said was very encouraging. I've learned a lot from you as well. That's why, you know, I try to, you know, well, I know Cherokee always talks about, you know, he always throws out the healing circle out there, and you know, I have found that there are healing circles all over the world. You know, and maybe if we can start speaking to people, start getting out to, you know, especially if they have Native American heritage, to get out, because that's pretty much, I live more so by my Native American side than Creole or the Bahamian, whatever, you know, all of that, you know, which I really don't know too much about the Bahamian, other than dancing, but other than my dad's side, but. I celebrated, and you know, the healing circle was a great tool in you know, bringing me and my children back together, bringing me in, because our relationship was torn, was bad, and it worked miracles for you know, me and my children to get back, you know, and for us to find where we are today, and right. And the Native American way and tradition, and you know, you can go ahead and drop to the people. It's a beautiful way. I support it. I call for any, and it's free, of course it's free. And I encourage anyone of any other cultures, because there are other cultures who have other, you know, ways of how they implement, like meditation and things of how to ease the mind and, you know, other things. You know, I tell everybody out here, bring what it is you got. But the Native American way is kind of how I live. It's putting family first, tradition. You know, the mother, the father, walking side by side, and the children. You know, and that's first and foremost. That's the Native American way. Right?
And the woman's the boss, not the other way around.
Yeah, we kick ass.
Yeah, well, no, you do something that man can't do. And that's the women replenish the earth by having children. And you know, other cultures. Like, you can look at the Taliban. The women are only there for making babies. The animals are worth more than the women are. And then they could do whatever they want to do with them. And that's just, like, totally the opposite of what we do. You know, the woman has the house. You know, if you leave, that's why if you ever saw old films, you would always see the women carrying a back. And what it was a teepee. You know, when they're, because that was their house. And it was, yeah, it was a trip when I saw that. And when I learned that when I was growing up, because I, 8 years old, I already knew my tradition, thanks to my grandfather. And because my father was worthless, he ended up dying. I said the way he was told to me, he died with a needle in his arm. So, and I had a chance. My father, he's the one that's full-blooded Cherokee, and then my mother is Mayan. So I'm both Cherokee and Mayan, but I was raised Cherokee. And, you know, just having simple things is what can make you happy. And you don't need to be a machine, a 9-to-5 machine, and then 5 to 9 watch the news that tells you a bunch of bullshit, you know. And you know, and that's the way it is here, and it's sad. It's really sad, you know. And they cut our education. They're taxing us to death. Because they don't know how to spend the money. They spend it for themselves. And it's just really, really sad. And that's why there's the most richest country in the world, and they don't even help the homeless like they should. Because, one, there shouldn't be any. And, two, there should be plenty of food for everyone. You know? And it's sad that you have to go out there and outreach. And then, you know, I say out of 10 people you outreach, probably 3 of them will come back and get services and help. And it's just like, you know, and that has to do with addiction. And actually some people like it, you know.
And simply mental illness, you know, you know, someone asked me, is all mentally ill people homeless? No. It's homeless people, they're unique. They're unique, and they all have different individual cases and backgrounds. And like I said, the one thing that I know that I can testify to is that you can become homeless, you can lose everything that you own, and then never have used a drug. You could just lose your job. You could just lose your job. And, you know, on top of that, you could have savings. You could have CDs. I had all that. Never would have imagined. You know, and, I mean, you know what? I mean, it is a serious thing. And all I can say is that, you know, today I'm a better person. You know, I'm a better person. And people that I serve out there, you know, I'm steadfast. I'm 24 hours.
You go, and seeing that's the way I used to be until I got sick, and I still try to do it because, like I my whole life I've been an action kind of guy, you know. I've been before I went in the military, I was a paramedic, and when I went in the military, I was on a special helicopter medic. Attachment, and basically, let's see, 1, 2, 3, went to 4 conflicts and 2 wars. No, actually 3, because we went to Bosnia right when we were getting out, and they shipped us out there. But see, what was funny about this is going back to what the government does. Our attachment was formed when Reagan was in office. So I did Reagan, Bush, and Bush Jr., as I call them. And then when Clinton came in office, I was quite surprised that he actually, in Bosnia, used NATO to do offensive bombing and stuff, and that was the first time that was ever done, but it needed to be done. And we were sent to Bosnia, and then our base was in Hawaii, and we never saw it for 14 years until we went back. And, yeah, it was weird. And, because we were everywhere. They just shipped us where, you know, El Salvador, Guatemala, Panama, you know, Grenada, all that. So we, you know, and then 91 Iraq, and then, right before that, we went, after that was Bosnia. So we never saw Hawaii till we came back, and then we were told that our unit was going to be dismantled. And so all eight of us decided to get out then because we were going to be separated. We didn't know where we were going to end up. And see, we grew in 8 years, you know. So, and it was a cool unit because it was like, you know, my helicopter had two white guys, two black guys, two Indian guys, and two Asian guys. So there was the four corners, and the other helicopter had the same thing. And we were all like tribal, so we did things differently, you know. Right. Even though there was bad situations, you know, when we go into conflict, you're either going to get killed or you're going to kill someone else. So, you know, we never really, it was weird, 14 years, we had three bad helicopter landings, and then me and another guy got hit with shrapnel in Panama because we were too close when we call it Puff the Magic Dragon came and blew up the Defense Ministry building in Panama. We were too close, so we were getting hit with shrapnel.
What if I ask you, what is the Puff the Magic Dragon?
It's World War II C-47 plane, and what they did is they put cannons in it, 60-millimeter guns that shoot about 2,000 rounds in 30 seconds. And it flies, and it's called Puff the Magic Dragon because it, like, shoots fire on the ground, man. It's like you see hell.
And who... Who has that?
The Air Force does.
So, can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Okay. With all of that manpower and all of the things that you guys you endured. It kind of baffles me that you really did what you, I mean, you served and you went out there and you did that. I kind of had questions, you know, like today, you know, of course, you know, I speak a lot about, you know, our kids coming home from this war.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you spoke of, and, you know, I've known you for quite a long time, my brother. And, you know, I've seen you, you know, you've watched me grow. We all watch each other grow. And, you know, I know you've come from being able to speak and to, yeah, because you're just talking, you know what I mean? Remember, you know, you were not a talkative person. And then, you know, you've come to share. And I just want to just acknowledge that, you know, you've come to share. And you bring also to, you know, whatever conversation it is, you enlighten it and very knowledgeable. And, with the current situation, with these kids coming home and, you know, the night terrors, you know, I mean, I know Cherokee's up first from it too, you know, seeing this.
Cherokee was in the problem with where Cherokee serving, Vietnam was a war without any,
declaration.
Mission. Yeah, there was,
declaration. Yeah.
Well, yeah. That too.
A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people.
But there was no. Right, there was no plan to it. I mean, there was no final mission and what they were actually doing, and they were just, you know, sending the Air Force in the North Vietnam then, and you know, to shoot them and stuff, and those guys got shot down. But the, and then they're bombing things that didn't matter. Well, it didn't stop them military. So, you know, how, you know, look, first he did the Marines, and then, you know, he did the Navy, and then, you know, he's got a, I watched his PTSD, like, and it's just like, you know, I thought mine was bad, but, you know, his is bad, because he was in a conflict that was meaningless. There was
no point.
I mean, we had to run with our tails.
It was an undeclared war, so undeclared war means pretty much. Now I get
right.
it. You know, it takes a little bit for me. About things that I'm not knowledgeable about, I try to understand and get. You know, like I've been asking a lot of questions about, you know, the divisions and, you know. I even had a friend of mine go into a what do you call it, a flashback? Ooh,
yeah.
I had a Vietnam friend going to flashback on my ass.
Right.
Because I actually, you know, he was talking about, I haven't really asked anybody really since him. What's up? I hope he's doing all right. I asked him a question. You know, he was giving me a little feedback about, you know, Vietnam and everything. He was a sergeant. And he had a group, what do you call him, a platoon,
mm-hmm.
and you know he ran it down to me. Pretty much, they didn't even have a blueprint to nothing. Yeah, I mean,
no,
so
no.
They didn't. I mean, they didn't know the bushes. They didn't blueprint it. I mean, I know, right? Okay, pretty much, I'm learning. They pretty much diagram off what is what, right? From
mm-hmm.
satellite or whatever, right? I mean, so you can know what is where, you know, so you can, like, maneuver through the jungles, right?
Right, right.
You mean to tell me they had none of that going on, Cracker?
They never, and half the time they didn't even see them, you know?
So they hit land, so Marines hit land, and they just got murdered.
Yeah, the Marines marched right on the bay or the beach, and
Army
was in there. Air Force,
up and they get murdered, right? They get got. I'm following you.
They still have 2,500 guys that are unaccountable, and they're probably, you know, dead, or are they still prisoners of war out there? You know, and I hope not, because it'd be a long time. You know. Because the guys would be around their 60s, late 50s and 60s, you know. And they never did anything to actually go and help find those guys.
Okay.
You know, find out. They found a few bodies, but, I mean, there's too many, not bodies, but bones. And then they brought them back, and they were identified. Because that's Hawaii has a big identification unit there, you know, where they take our DNA and prints and, you know, all that stuff. But, yeah, they didn't have nothing, and Reagan changed everything. Grenada was kind of fucked up because we were almost running into each other because of the communication. So they learned from that and turned around. That's why Panama was, quick. Panama was quick. And then we were in Guatemala and El Salvador, and Reagan's on TV telling you, no, I do not have any troops there. I only have about 100 advisors. And I go, we were laughing because we knew there was 300 to 500 guys in the countries, you know.
Wow.
And it was a trip that... You know, and it was, and finally their civil wars ended, and I had a problem there because the enemy was supposed to be the Mayan Indians, and it was basically genocide, especially in Guatemala, what they were doing, and then the Nicaragua running in from Honduras and hitting them and run back, and then the CIA was blowing up stuff in their harbor, you know, their oil and stuff and train stuff, and that was all denied, you know. No, that didn't happen, but I happened to be there. I know it did happen. And
is that where Pearl Harbor and all that?
No. This is in Nicaragua when Daniel Ortega's leader. And then after he finally gave up, they were called the Sandinistas, and the Contras were the Indians. And that's I didn't mind being there because the Indians were on our side, so that was cool. And then, but here's the funny part. After all this is over, about, it's been 7, 8 years ago, Daniel Ortega was elected as president there. And when I heard that on the news, I just dropped. I go, no freaking way. And this is the guy that we spent all that time getting rid of. You know, and so other than, you know, keeping the Contras from being annihilated, this guy was freely elected in the as president of his country. So you kind of wonder, well, what was the whole purpose of that? You know, other than, you know, I understand that they were genociding, okay, but to tell you the truth, in Guatemala and El Salvador, I thought we were on the wrong side. We were supporting the governments there because they do anything that United States would ask them to do, you know. They knew they didn't want to fight us, so we had basically puppet governments over there for the United States. And the United States does a lot, especially in our back door.
Yeah.
So.
And their interests. You know, just like the genocide that's going on in America, and as well as my brother Jay himself speaks on of South America. There's genocide going all over the world right now. And there's a lot of allying with in Africa alone. I don't know if you've been over here. You saw the DVD that Renee gave me. I don't know if you saw it, but within the DVD she had me study, and I really truly did study it. And you know, the genocide is, you know, it's being portrayed as though it's just plain to see, and that America's interest in Africa is nothing at this point. But then, from my understanding, when it comes to, which I do know, Kuwait, and we don't even have to go into things that people are going to want to fight for. Africa is the richest country in the world. As today has the most untouched mineral.
Correct.
In the world.
Yes.
And as we speak, 5 million a month, ever since 1993, it's been 6 million plus.
Mm-hmm.
6 million, 600 million dead. Killed by Janjaweed, in which these are mercenaries and they're being portrayed to be helping, but they're not. And they're saying it's an ethnic war. They're painting it because the people who are going and they're killing and cannibalizing, they're eating people. They are cutting up. The bottom line is I don't understand what it is where we sit and allow this to go on in certain countries until it has an effective that we, you know. I mean, you know what? My all kind of oil up over here, all running it. There ain't enough oil in the Persian Gulf, but the big oil still probably leaking. What happened to that? Is that still is the leak still leaking? Right?
Are you there? I lost you, Dina.
Hello, everybody. I dropped. Hey, everybody. This is Gina's Groove Theory back online. Hold on with me. I'm going to go ahead and play a little cut, see what's going on, and hit it. I don't know how that happened. All right. Okay. Hello. Hey, everybody. You're back with Gina's Groove Theory. It is now 12:15 a.m. But that was, we're going to have to do an order on that. Got to check in with it. Oh, wait. Somebody's not supposed to say hello. So let's go ahead and say hi. What's going on? Hello. Hello. Hi.
Hi. Gina's Groove back. For some reason,
hey.
I lost you.
Yeah, you
so
know what?
I
don't know.
Phone.
I lost you. You lost me. I don't know what was up with that. That's kind of weird.
You were going to ask me a question, and then I kept going, hello, hello. And then I lost it. I switched to the cell phone to see if that'll work better.
I got logged off. Yeah, I got logged off. I'm going to have to open up a ticket on that. Yeah, we kind of got lost for a minute, but it's all good. We're back and on in effect. Much love to you, Hawk. Thank you for coming back. This is Gina's Groove Theory. Let me check in on the time. It is now 12:51. This is your KXRW, Long Beach, California, your community connection internet radio station. And this is Gina from The Theory. We're out here with Hawk, my Native American brother as well. And he's putting it down to me. I know I'm going to have to do a show. About this. I pretty much been putting together, you know, talking to different people who served and finding out what it was, what their duties were. You know, that's how I'm kind of putting it together, about how they hit the sand, you know, how they roll in and how, you know, how all of the different, you know, services, different forces, you know, work. And with that, you know, that's very disheartening. What I have about is what's really bad is not just, I guess, Reagan crap or whatever they had back then is just what about the kids that are going to be coming home now. And I try to let everyone know about that law that Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Terminator, Governator, whatever. That, I don't know what that was about. Terminator.
Yeah.
What? Hold up. You know what? I'm going to run for governor. Hello. What did you say, huh? I know I'm a blow up.
That guy used the power of his office to mess around and cheat on his wife. And he was something else.
Oh, well, that's
something
okay. You
else.
Know,
yeah.
Who do that? You know? Come on.
Yeah. Well, yeah, just look at General Petraeus, the CIA guy. You know, we're taught not to do that.
You know what? Mm-hmm.
All right, you're breaking up again.
Yeah. The pink around what? Oh, yeah, I think that's
well,
me. I don't know. I'm going to have to check it. What?
Yeah, you're breaking up again.
What did you say, Huck?
I was saying that, you know, we're taught to be faithful and walk the straight line and stuff, and then the people that run things do just the opposite. And so everyone seeing this, you know, they're saying, okay, well, it's okay to do that. It's okay to do this. And really, the criminals are the government. Are you there?
And get away with highway robbery. Right. Yeah, I'm right here. They get away with highway
okay.
and highway robbery, I tell you. That's what.
Right.
Hey, that's why I started. That's why I started. I'm like, hey, but you know what? Hey, community people within the community got to get on the same. We all got to get on the same page. We all got to understand that. Hey, you know, I mean, hey, I voted for Obama too. Hey, you know, much shout out. I voted 12 years in county. We'll see next four. But the case is,
right.
We need
and,
to collectively. Can you hear me? Are you breaking up?
Well, no, I'm hearing you. Well, I was just wanting to make a comment about Obama. That you realize he was the only president twice in his inauguration speech. He mentioned the Native Americans.
Well, you better holler. Woo woo. Cherokee,
yeah.
I got another caller out there. I think it's the bishop calling in. Hold on, let me go ahead
okay.
and touch.
No, well, yeah, go ahead with them. I'm going to listen in because the little girl's sick and
well,
I'm way past
Sequoia,
my... Huh?
Tell Sequoia and Cheyenne, hello. for me.
Yeah.
Tell them to listen in to Auntie Gina. She's going to finish up the theory. Thank you. Hang out there if you need to talk to me, if you want to touch me. Now I see your question mark, but you need to talk to me. Thank you for coming out here. Want to send any shouts out to anybody before you drop off?
Well, yeah, shout to you, and thank you for the show, your hospitality, and your support in walking in my life, and that means a lot. And then, of course, my cousin Cherokee, you better be awake and listening.
Oh, of course.
And I love him to death because he kept me from falling down. You know, I broke up with my wife and didn't see the kids, and he kept me going. And he basically saved me, and that's just the bottom line. And Brother Todd, our Creek brother. Just out to everyone, and thank you for calling in, listening, and giving ideals, and I hope everyone has a great journey in their life. So, and that's the Indian way. Okay, dear?
Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you, Hawk, for coming out. Jenna Grootberry invites you back anytime. Thank you for your love. Go ahead and hang on out. I'm going to go ahead and drop you on in the cut. I'm going to go ahead and touch. I think this is the bishop, and I'm quite sure he's going to have a lot to say. All right, so let's go ahead. Much love. I love you, Hawk. Kiss the kid.
I love you, too. Okay, I sure will. Oh.
Thank you, baby. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hello? Okay. Hello, this is Miss Groove Theory. How may I help you? This is Gina.
Hi, Gina.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
I'm happy to hear the show on the air tonight. I've been kind of like craving it. You know, it's really good to turn around and give something back to the community. If just to give them hope, you know. And I was listening to him, and, you know, I know Hawk, you know. And he really enjoyed us talking on the air, and I'd like to thank you for letting him talk on the air like that.
Well, come on, you know, it's not just my show. You know, it's not just my show.
No, I know, but, you know, sometimes when people can voice their opinion and be able to let their emotion out, sometimes that's all they need. You know, people get really, really bottled up. Those are the ones that lose it, you know. But when they have an outlet, you know, it's just so much better for them than their life. So that's why I like to say thank you for letting them come out and voice his opinion.
Well, you know, come on. You know, that's a given. That's family, you know. Everybody, you know what? Everybody's family. And, you know, that's my get down. Come on.
If the idea wasn't brought out and you didn't implement it, guess what? There'd be no Gina's Group thing. So, therefore, credit is due. So, I just give you a credit.
Thank you, brother. Hey, everybody, this is Bishop Brett out of La Habra, California. That's my big brother, everybody. Welcome to The Theory, as always. So, you... Thank you for the much love and the prayer. I got it. Yes. Okay. But you know who made it all possible? Really, though. You know, so, you know, all thanks and praise go to him, really, though. But, yeah. But thank you for being here. What you up to?
Right now, I'm running. I'm doing my little 18-wheel thing. I'm going to Northern California. And, you know, hey, you were talking about running for governor. I guess you would be the Gina-nator.
I'll be the Gina-nator.
The Gina-nator.
The Gina-nator.
Yeah. That's good, yeah.
Gina-nator. Oh.
Yeah. You know, that's so funny. People will vote for a character before they'll vote for the person's character. I don't get it. You know, I mean, they vote for Arnold, knowing his character, knowing who he is. And put him in office, right? Over us, okay? And then wonder what went wrong. That right there, what went wrong? Mm. What went wrong? You put a movie star over the people. That's what happened. So, you know, I don't know.
They believe in
movies. He terminated us, didn't he? He terminated us pretty good, didn't he?
I ain't the one that gossiped, but you didn't hear from me. But the case is the Terminator. I'm glad he won't be back.
It's amazing. It's amazing how we think. You know, if we put something plastic up there, how come we're expecting it to act like steel? It ain't gonna work.
Oh well, wait a minute. Isn't it liquid nitrogen? No, I'm just. Never.
Oh yeah! Oh, you're going back to the movie, huh? Oh yeah! It was that's pretty funny. That was pretty good. Yeah.
I know.
Oh yeah, you picked that one out the back pocket, didn't you? Come on.
Okay. About the day to do. Yeah, you're making me laugh, brother.
Wow.
Yeah,
I just don't get you, know, but I am I didn't vote for Obama. But I am kind of relieved that, you know, he got back in office because, you know, at least he's, we already know how he is. The other guy, we didn't know anything about him I don't think we wanted to know who he was. So,
you don't like poor people, that's all I know. You don't want to know
that. I'm just saying, I'd really rather have something in office that I already know that malfunction than have another malfunction. Give me a surprise.
Well, I voted for Obama, and, you know, I'm glad he's up in there. The bottom line is, you know what? Hey, I don't know. 2000 kind of cooked me, so I don't know. I was just waiting for the next day for them to say all of a sudden that Newt Gingrich had won. Like, damn, I went to bed. I thought Obama won. Newt Gingrich, anything can happen. I was waiting for somebody to tell me, hey, you know what? Thomas Jefferson's great-great-grandson won. What the hell? When I went to bed, it was Obama in Florida. What the hell happened? So that's
Well, you know who got him in, right? The Spanish Americans, they got him in. They got him in. The majority of votes came from them. Because that guy, he buried his own self by stating that he was sending everybody and deporting everybody back. So it was a setup, as you say, it's a blow up. It was a blow up. Yeah.
I'm getting mixed signals about the where the majority votes. So I might have to do something about it. I might have to go ahead and Google it, you guys, and find out who was the most majority of votes. But because I was hearing that that black folks went out and did they do though? You know, it was an old drunk lady.
16% black. It was 50% somewhere around there. Spanish. It was some Caucasian. It was a lot, you know. And you know, I was really happy with the way it turned out, you know, because you know how they do it, you know. They put who they want there, you know. So this year, I guess they didn't go for the okey doke, you know.
Well, you know, I mean, like I said, I was thinking to wake up in the morning and they tell me that Newt Gingrich had won, or that Pee Wee Herman. Pee Wee Herman came in from the back.
Yeah.
Oh my God, where's my bike?
Oh yeah. Well, you know, that's what we live in now. You know, we live in that type world. You know, with all the technology and all that we have, and at home voting and all this other stuff, you know, we don't know what to believe anymore. You know, they don't have a for sure science. So, you know, I just thank God that he got in, and I hope that he, you know, learning. That's what it is with him. He's learning, and I give it to him. You know, for him not to be experienced hitting the White House, you know what? He's done a pretty good job. And
from my understanding, he was primed for the job long before. And his backing is the Jabrinsky. You guys need to Google him. The big Jabrinsky. Yeah, he was primed for it and chosen and handpicked from college, from my understanding. But then, you know, from my, hey, you know what? When I found out that Obama was running, I was like, damn, I thought they was looking for Osama. They came out the cave and he running for president. Forgive me for that, but that was one of my unintellectual moments. I was like, wait, I said Osama bin Laden running for president?
Hey, these people, they do what they want to do, you know. For a long time, I thought our president was reptilian because I didn't know, I know he wasn't from the hood, so, you know, I don't know what to think, you know, of Obama, you know. One minute he's Christian, next minute he's, he's Islam, next minute I don't know what to believe. Huh?
That's the media blowing it up. You got, okay, keep in mind, the media be blowing shit up. They be blowing it up like who's his baby daddy and who, what country he was born in. Was he born in a what? It don't even matter. Arnold Schwarzenegger was the governor of California. What the hell? I mean, we had Arnold was the governor. And then we had Ronald Reagan and Nancy and shit. They was the president and the first lady. So the bottom line is any old actor.
Don't you forget Jimmy Carter.
No, Carter was not an actor or anything else. I mean, I would be too surprised if Justin Bieber does a run for 2014. Wait a minute, is that Justin Bieber? Yeah, he's running for president. Oh, my God. Do you know he'll probably win? On a real tip, I'm going to throw that out there to Justin Bieber fans. Tell him to run for president next term. And come on in here and bring it on in here with a little bit of... Little swagger. Hey, come on. I think I might run for president. Hey, could you imagine? Hi. I was at City Council meeting today when your brother and friend received his award from the mayor of Long Beach for his service as a street outreach specialist. Did you check me out on Facebook? Did you see my Facebook?
No, I haven't been rolling.
Oh, well, you gotta go check out the pictures.
You know, I gotta catch up. You know, I didn't bring my laptop with me because I've been moving, but I've been keeping up with your little texts that you throw out. You know, to keep the foundation of the show going, so I'm aware of what's going on. And what was the award? What was the name of the award?
Actually, the proclamation of. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me read it as it is, my brother. Oh, wait a minute. I'm getting texts from somebody at home. Let's go ahead and check in and see what the texts say. Okay, let's see. Oh, whoop-de-woo. No, wait a minute. No, I'm just kidding. Whoop-de-woo. Actually, it was the... Come on. You know what? Come on, iPhone. You better get cracking. Let's see. It is the... And no disrespect. I don't even like the mayor, really. He's... But anyway, so here we go. He received the, there we go. Let's tap on this one here. Okay.
Humanitarian?
Oh, he received the... From the city of Long Beach of California, the proclamation in celebration of the National Hunger and Homeless Awareness Week, November 10th through the 18th, 2012, for his service as a street outreach. Well, you know, he's the street outreach god out here, you know, because everybody knows him with the cases. Yes, for his years of service, tiresome service, you know, working out there on the streets, doing the job. So. And, you know, he retired.
See, that,
retiring.
See that? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You know, if you're gonna live a life, at least live a life that you noticed. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, shit. Like I tell him all the time, I'm like, shit. When I want to grow, when I grow up, I want to be just like him. I don't know how I'm gonna get there. Shit, you know, because they be singing to him on the streets. They be singing in Walmart. I mean, she be, hey, but like, damn, you know, sometimes he got a dip in, you know. It's like walking down the street with Usher or something. You know, it's like, you know, who is the biggest star? Michael Jackson. It's like, what? It's like, oh, my God, y'all dipping. You don't want nobody, you know, it's no joke. But he still got full force for the people, so, you know.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, and I can't wait to get out there with him. I know he's going to pop out here and there, you know. I know it's in your blood, you know. You got to go see him once in a while, you know. So I'm gonna go out there with him. I'm gonna see what's going on because you know I'm starting this new thing going, this new homeless program. So you know I'll probably be out there with him.
Well, you know we need all that we can get, and you know because we're not knowing actually, you know. Yeah, Papa maybe want to celebrate and go back to North Carolina after a while, I would imagine. And
he ain't going nowhere. He got Long Beach in his blood, huh?
Well, you know, I'm about. So you know, I'm pretty much. You know, I mean, I like to visit him, but you know, I'm trying to. You know, I'm trying to keep it pushing. I'm trying to grow too. You know, I'm like a. I kind of miss.
I told you, you guys should hook up with me, and we go on to do this farm thing. I'm telling you.
What?
I went through there the other day, and it's 380 acres, and it is beautiful, man. I went through the whole house is like 4,500 square feet, and it's a ranch house. And that place is a gold mine, and I'm trying to get the guy to drop the price, but I'm working on it.
Gold mine, ranch.
I'm telling you.
What?
I'm telling you. You know what?
Uh-uh.
We don't know where our meals are going to come from in the near future.
I know where our meals are going to come from.
Therefore, I think we should do some planning ahead.
Well, that's like Plan D.
I'm just saying. I would much rather work for myself than work for somebody. You know what I mean?
Who you gonna have up there on that farm? And you know what?
I'm not gonna do no hard work like that. I'll hire in, you know, my little amigos to, you know, do the hard work.
Oh, the American dream, huh?
But no, that's what they do. That's what they do out there. That's how they live. That's their culture. Yeah, that's their culture.
Yeah,
no,
in our culture, you're going to put some chains and shackles on your ass and shit when you catch it. See, that only works.
No, I didn't say illegal. I said the amigos. The illegal Mexican-American that are here that do it, they're spending their generation after generation after generation. They've been farmers all their life. Huh?
My name is Hector.
Well, I was thinking about grapes. Grapes
are a
good crop.
You sound like General Motors. You want to take all American jobs and give them to Mexico.
I go by hundreds and hundreds of farms. You know, during the course of a day, I have never, ever, ever saw anything but Spanish people out there picking the crops.
That's right. Come on now.
I want you to understand. I have never saw a brother out there picking no crops. And I've been doing this a lot of years, man. I look out there and see who's out there. And I'm telling you, the people, as they say, the people, they have that thing down to us.
What work, hard work?
Yeah, man, I give it to them all day long. I watch them. They bring their food and they cook and they and you know, I can't say nothing but positivity for them and for the hard work that they do.
One of my texters said, and who did the job before they did it?
Oh, but see, we can go by who did it before, but that's nothing now. We're talking about here and now. I can't live off of what people did before. I can live off what's happening right now.
Nobody put a tree on your back.
I never saw no tree. I mean, I believe mama put the only tree on my back talking about education, education, education. That was the tree that was on my back. Oh, not to mention that switch.
Oh, you weren't picking up no coals off the railroad? Oh, well, that wasn't me.
No, I was picking switches off trees. That's what I was doing. Huh? Come on.
Yeah, okay. Hello, hello, hello. You hear me knocking? Let me in.
We won't get into that now. We'll get into how we had to get raised, okay? Really raised. Go ahead.
Let the panties fall down. Let's see what time it is. It is now 1:16 in the AM. It is November 14, 2012. You are broadcasting here with Gina's Groove Theory, representing out of Long Beach, California. This is your KXRW, your community connection internet radio station, and this is Gina. Hey. I was going to do that. That's a good time. You know what I mean. I got to go and make them represent. Let them know what time it is. Because, you know, sometimes people ain't got no clock. You know what I mean? Well, I'm actually silly.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, yeah. So back to what you saying about you had something General Motors something Chrysler? No, that was something else.
Oh, cut it out! No, you know what I'm talking about. Hey, you know, I've been working all my life for people, you know, and now I'm ready to get my own. I'm ready to do my own thing. You know what I'm saying? And I'm ready to, you know, I got a big enough family. I don't even have to, you know, those lazy people I got over there and get them out there.
That's what Americans are complaining about, all the jobs, you know, the jobs, you know, they're taking the jobs, you know, they're getting all the jobs. Well, you know, most of the people I hear complain about that one, the ones who never ever
asked
for
jobs. Those are jobs that they don't want. Those are jobs that they don't want. I mean, they don't want to be out there picking no grapes. If that was the case, I'd be saying, down there in Fresno, I'd be seeing a whole bunch of brothers out there picking. I don't even see brothers in the vicinity of the grape picking. So, you know, come on now. Let's stop whining.
Yeah, I know. They've been talking about somebody taking their jobs.
They're
taking all the jobs. They never had a job when they sent it. You know, taking a job. Like, well, when you go out to get the job, well, maybe they won't get it if you go to get it first.
Well, you got to put your foot out there, and you got to be willing to work. And not too many people are willing to work, you know, work that hard for the money.
For the money. Well, you know, hey, Donna Summer said it. Well, rest their soul.
I'm just saying, you know, I mean, a lot of people, they can talk it, but they can't walk it. And that's where I put it right there, you know. If I get my farm, I know it's hard work, but that'll keep me alive. I'll be 50 years old next year. And you know what? Let me get my farm and give me a tractor and give me something to do.
Come on with your best. Yeah.
Huh?
Well, you send me a postcard. I'll be on the bank. I'll be somewhere in Tahiti. Drinking on me a margarita with a little umbrella on the glass. With a bunch of cherries. Grandma, you
know. Come on. That's in the celebration.
Of
the crops.
If you're so happy to get a potbelly pig, name it after me.
A potbelly pig?
I said, if you so happy to get a potbelly pig, name it after me.
No, I'm going to give it to you.
Hell no. Listen here.
I'll bring it to you. I'll bring it to your nice little house. I'll bring you the potbelly pig, huh?
Me being on a farm is like me going to the beach, getting in the water. It's a blow up. There's no way.
But it's not
but
like you think. It's not like you think. This farm, look, the house is set. The house is set on the street. You would never know that this was a farm. You would never know. The main house is set on the street, and so you know, unless you really pay attention, you can see, you know, all the land behind it.
Oh.
You wouldn't hit the dirt anyway, so you wouldn't know anyway.
What you gonna do with all that land in the back? I heard a voice.
I'm telling you, I was thinking about leasing some of the property out. Okay, I could lease some of the, you know, some of the property out, so that could be income to support, you know, the taxes on the house. And then I could I talked to Foster Farm. They want to give me 10 to 20 chicken coops.
Chicken coops.
Yeah, they pay you per year for chicken coops.
Hello.
Yeah, they pay you. Okay, for me having their chicken coops, they bring a big rig and they drop off the whole chicken coop. And for me raising their
chicken coop,
it's from $5,000 to $8,000 a year. Each coop.
And what did you get from the chicken?
They pay for the food. They pay for the shots. They pay for the medical end of it. And all I do is clean the coop.
Well, an anonymous caller said chicken shit.
Well, that's okay. Well, as I'm cashing my check, you can call it what you want. As long as I'm able to pay for that big old beautiful farm, I don't care. I don't care if it's cow manure. I don't care if it's snake poo-poo.
Please.
It don't make me no difference. As long as I can pay for my ranch, huh? Come on.
Yeah, I work up a sweat driving to the campus and shit. Let me tell you something. I sweep my wig out going to school on a hot day. Hell, all that old chicken coop farming and all that extra. Ooh, what? Come on, chicken coop. Shit.
Let me put it to you like this.
And is they both of folks?
For a grape farm, I want you a vineyard, okay? I want you to understand. For every couple of blocks, you're looking at $450,000. So I like 300 and some acres. So I'm looking at, if I just raise grapes alone, I'm the fourth, and I'm looking at $1.5 million of product.
Chicken?
And plus, you know, with the labor and all the rest, you know, after I get done, I get done and all, I'll make about $900,000, huh?
Are they corn fed?
Can I hear,
are they corn fed?
What, the chickens?
Oh, yeah.
Corn fed.
Yeah. They don't have no plumpers, are they? They won't be driving. They won't take off with my beans and shit and be drinking 7-Eleven Super Gopes.
What, the chickens?
Oh, yeah, the chickens. Are they Foster Farm?
No, they're Foster Farm chickens.
Oh, okay. All right. I want to see those.
They're not the ones jumped up with the salt. No. They're homegrown.
Oh, they're not the one that drive off of my car and shit and be.
They're not the fat jumped up salt water chickens. No.
They're not plumpers.
But you see, I'm not growing chickens. I'm raising eggs.
Oh my God, eggs?
Yeah.
Well. Papa don't like regular eggs, so he likes those cage-free eggs. So you gonna raise cage-free eggs?
I never heard of cage-free eggs. What is a cage-free egg?
You know, I thought it was crazy too. Yeah, cage-free eggs.
I don't know.
What is that?
Something.
I will leave Papa with that thought. I'll leave it right there. I ain't going no further with it.
It's, you know, it's people out there that are like, oh, that old extra.
Well, truthfully, I like duck eggs, but, you know, you remember that them duck eggs taste pretty good.
Duck? Oh, no. I remember having ducks all our lives, but ducky eggs? That's like eating a bunny.
Oh, come on. Stop acting like you didn't eat no duck egg cake.
I would eat your cocktail. I had to slap Daffy. But Donald, I'm cool with him. The kids, the little triplets and shit, I'm cool with them. So I like them ducks. But when it comes to, duck and rabbits? Oh, don't mess around with rabbits. I couldn't eat Peter Cottontail. You know, cute.
Wow.
I can't mess with, you know. Ugh.
I don't know,
the actual animal.
I know. I mean, you
still
did that before, I know, right?
Yeah, you know, what is it? A duck
remember when we went to the Commerce Club?
Yes, duck with shrimp, oyster oil, yeah.
Over in Commerce, California?
Yeah, I remember duck. Oh.
That was duck we were eating. We were eating duck.
Well, I wouldn't eat none of that duck. You know, I ate. Now, you know, Nanny, she used to make a duck and two. Yeah, but I never mess with the duck too much, but I don't know. What was that other thing she did too? Well, not the duck, the... Now, it ain't a geese. What is the other delicacy
possum.
For the holiday? Huh?
The possum.
Oh, hey. Oh, honey, no. That's just a nightmare. I'll never get that.
Oh, my God. Man, that was horrible. I mean,
huh?
I know we city folk because, man, she pulled that thing up and that thing had that chili in its mouth. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Awesome belly.
It looked like roadkill. Yeah, no. Uh-huh.
Hello? You know, I remember. Okay, I just had a flashback. I remember in the pot, in the pan,
roasting pan, remind you, go ahead.
Yeah, the possum. Ooh, mama.
That was horrible.
For grandmama. Grandmama liked that wild shit, didn't she? Oh, they from Louisiana. They like the wild shit that they wild. I'm good on all that.
Well, now you see why I ain't breaking my back to get back to Louisiana.
Well, I've never been. I'd like to go, but you ruined it for me.
My playson's out there. He's trying to get me to come out. He's out there.
Well, you ruined it for me. I would have already been, but you ruined it for me when you went. That's why.
Well, I mean, not all people eat like that. Come on.
No, I said you ruined it for me. I would have been went. I would have been in Louisiana a long time ago.
Then why don't you go? We got relatives up there.
No,
come
I'm
on.
Talking about I could have went when like you went. How you went and visited, but Mama said you came back and you. Program
you, so I couldn't
never go.
Well, you grown now. You ain't got to work. Get your two tickets and go.
So, okay, who I'm going to stay with? I'm going to be just like Mama.
Why don't you go up there with Alice then?
What? I ain't Grandmama. I ain't Georgia and Anil. I'm not going to be staying from house to house and all that old extra.
You know how you break off when you get up there and you go to the Holiday Inn like we do.
Yeah, like Auntie said, your mama always stayed at a Sheraton. She never stayed with her nobody.
Well, with the stories I heard, with the roach infestation and all of the ticks and
mama
the
always,
trees and the crabs. I know why she did it. I know why she did it. They say they got a real bad bug problem back there.
And the Auntie, what was her name before she passed away? The one that caught the bus all the way from Louisiana? She was no joke. She said... Well, you didn't go up to Altadena with us, Pasadena with us, right?
Yeah, I know.
Her name was Hattie?
Ain't Hattie.
Yeah, she said, you don't know who that is. She said, you don't know. Brenda was like, you don't know who that is. She's like, I know who she is. I ain't never laid eyes on that lady. She's like, I know who she is. She's a Catherine daughter. And so I was like, hello. And she was like, well, I hope you have the woman your mama was.
Some of that color purple stuff.
Can I get a hug? I don't need all that. Can I get a hug? I don't need all that. I got to catch this greyhound. Like, you got the greyhound already? She about 100. Ain't nobody going to bother me. Yeah, I ain't fucking with you either. And then she took the cane and wailed on somebody. Hit around. I was like, hey, okay. Nice to meet you, ain't he? Shit. You would have dope. It's a cut up.
Well, that's where they are back home, huh?
I love to go back home, though. But I probably get in trouble.
Yeah.
Mardi Gras. I want to go to Mardi Gras, brother. Let's go to Mardi Gras.
You know what? That's been what I want to do. But yeah, it's so much to happen there. You know, especially with you being out from out of town. You know, we don't know how to talk like them.
Come up big. Mama say you come up dead and nobody know what happened to you.
Yeah,
like Hoffa.
We're a little too proper. We need to learn some of that Louisiana talk.
What are you all? What you all doing? Mama says you came back and you said, "Hey, that motherfucker lie on me." All we gotta do is like say a lot of little slang, you know, little, kind of like what they try to say. Ebonics is it's just countrified. You know, I can switch up any time. You know what I'm saying?
Girl, you're going to have to work on it. You're going to have to work on it.
Let me check in with the time.
You all going to have to work on that there, huh?
Well, we is going to check on in with the time and see what time it's going to be right now. It is.
Well, you go
now,
right here. You go ahead.
It's 1:30.
You go right here.
California. I said California. It's 1:32 a.m. in California. November 14th, 2012. Here on Gina's Brew Theory. Nice to have you all. And don't you come back and see me down here.
You come back now. Oh, man. It's going to be a good day today.
You know, I was sharing the power of ambition, and you know what? We had spoken to me like the night before. I had got the video because I know you haven't gotten a chance to check it out. But, and you were talking about Ty Jump, but I want to bring to your attention that he had broken down, you know, as a dollar. Hit your mute button so you can hear me. He broke it down in a dollar. He said, "Now take a dollar, $1." He said, "You take the first 10 cents." And you put that first 10 cents, Bishop. I can hear the hawk in the back of you.
I don't know. The window up. You pretty good.
Okay, BJ and the Bear. You take the first 10 cents out of a dollar, and you apply that to your charity, or you know, to charity. The second 10 cents, take it, you put that into self enterprise. And that means whatever your entrepreneurship is, you know, invest in. So say it's investing in stocks. All right, and then your third 10 cents out of that dollar, you apply that and you use that as collateral. So you loan that out. So like how, you know, we have how you say I borrow $10 and I pay you back interest. That's what you do. That third 10 cents. And that 70, that whole 70, nothing but profit. And the bottom line is what he said. Is that you turn it back to helping others. That's the first. That is the first. The first step towards being successful. And like I was, I don't know if you were asked earlier, but success is not defined by what it is that you have, what it is that you live, or how you live, or what you drive, or any of that. Success is defined by your happiness. And he made the point. And what is incredible? All the things that he said, but you did get to see what he looked like, right? He's an unusual character. Thing, and I mean, what I got from it was not only just the content of what he was saying, it's the way that we do live, the way that I do live, really, and it's how I think. The part about incorporating, you know, working with, you know, giving an issue, you know, an equal amount of time to each individual aspect of my life is, you know, that's a progress in the making. But
the how he takes what he has. He doesn't really worry. It's like you invest time into everything, equal amount of time. And then at the end of the day, and how he put it, he was like, at the end of the day, realistically, honestly, don't trick yourself out. You know, you got to be real. Because if at the end of the day, you haven't moved any progress. And he said, for people like me who have a lot of things, a lot of tasks, stuff, you know, notebooks all over the place, he's like, for a person like me, I need to write it down. That way, the only way to be having a plan towards success is that you put it in terms of years and how much you plan on having in years, and then you start with how you're going to interest. And that's self-interest. Like he says, elevate self-interest. So that means put time into self as far as what it is that you know, you got that cracking, and then you might be doing that job or whatever. He made a lot of good sense as far as what we should be raising our children, more so to be thinking about how to earn wages, not to be earning wages, but to more be making profit, you know, like 30 cents out of each dollar towards something that is going to be bringing you back. And then also just that first charity, the first thing you do is always charity. He said, you know what, you're going to, you know, like what you tell me. And it was so funny because I got this video next time. How you tell me about having a sermon and, you know, how I'm going to have to let, you know, change a certain. Oh, he spoke all about it, Greg. I mean, about how you just got to change. You have to live the way it is that you want to be. You have to live that way. That means you can't sidetrack. That means you can't go over to the left. You can't dibble and dabble with things that you can't deal with. You have to be up front, upright, up straight front, real, honest, without any intent to harm anyone, and first and foremost as being an assistance to others. So like he said, you know, when you get to where you're going to be, and you know how people are going to be like, you know, telling you, oh, well, you know, you're rich, you know, because he said it's all defined on where you're going to be found. Like 5 years, 2.5 million in 5 years. That's where I want to be. So in that type of time, and then every day I put that in. That's where it's called. That's the whole self enterprise. That's the self. You invest. And it doesn't have to be. He didn't define it in like minutes, hours. You invest that time toward your entrepreneur. You invest that time towards your work. You invest that time towards your all equal. Children, your marriage, your love life, whatever. All the same equal amount because you have balance. And then at the end of the day, and also too, he made point, if you're at work, no point. So say if you're on vacation, you know, you don't take the MacBook, you're doing no show. You know, if I'm on vacation, I can't take the MacBook and have theory all in, you know, Barbados. You know, I'm like, hey, I'm Gina Guru Theory, I'm a theme, but better. You know, he said, work is for work. When you take a vacation, it's for vacation. Never intermingle the different responsibilities, the different aspects. So in other words, like family, you know, I mean, you, don't take the wife out on a date with the company party. Blow up. None of that. Have to give and direct your and with that, and lay down some principles. Character that you could imagine to see, wouldn't it? It's a blow up. But but one, in order to have power, the power of ambition first starts to have a plan. In time, enlightened self-interest. That means to be encouraged, and also to be around people who are encouraging, people of the like such. Being a service to others is first and foremost. Number one thing that you need to have is discipline. Every new discipline inspires life and creates motivation towards structure. Get all aspects of life in order. In other words, every new discipline inspires life. So discipline, every new discipline brings on something new, replaces the old.
discipline yourself, that means you give yourself structure, you give yourself time, and you put that time into whatever, in every aspect. It doesn't matter what it is. So he gave six principles on building ambition. These are the six principles, he says, in building ambition. One, positive direction. Positive direction. Two, self-reliance. Three, self-discipline. Four, self-enterprise. Five, working with others. And six, self-appreciation. I'm going to break it down how he broke it. Positive direction means that you know where you're going, you know where you've been, you know where you're headed. Self-reliance, be only reliant on you and only you. Never leave your job up to anybody else. You are totally, fully responsible for whatever your destiny has. You give that job to no one. Three, self-discipline. Discipline yourself. That means get time management. Manage your time. There's 24 hours in a day. If you got a husband, a wife, whatever, you got a relationship, you got a marriage, you got kids, you got a job, then you got the side job. You know, you got your, you know, you're working on the side, your work at home job. 24 hours, say four different things, four different aspects, 24 hours up. But give yourself enough time to sleep, still take off eight. So let's say four. Oh, well, you got to do eight for the job, eight probably for the regular job. If you are lucky to have a part time job, if you get a part time job, that's good too. Case is divide. Giving yourself enough time to, and with rest, like you say, for the people that stay up all night or whatever the case may be, you know, with that, as long as you have done something productive, and I've been working my ass off, I tell you, because it matters. Utilizing your time in a progressive way is really working for me. Self-expression is what he spoke about. Ambition is a result of positive self-direction. So self-expression. Ambition is a result of positive self-direction. Know who you are and where you go and where you see yourself today. And doing what it takes until, and this is what he said, you don't have to have a lot. If you can be happy, what people need to do is be happy with what you have today. Be working towards what it is that you want until you made that, and that until with the period. Until, doesn't matter. That until lasts until what it is, the time limit that you give yourself to make a difference. Now, is all the disciplines I make? This is a question you have to ask yourself. Is all the disciplines I'm taking taking me where I want to go? Not by chance. Don't be faked out. This is what he said. Don't be faked out. Not by chance. So are your disciplines taking you in the direction that you want to go? Not by chance. Not that you stumbled upon it. And don't be faked out. Nobody's going to take care of me except me. Much hope. Not much hope. Promise. Not much hope promises progress. Okay? All right? Now. All right, now. Whoop, 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 whoop. In this direction I want for my life, is it someone else's or is it mine? Make sure the direction that you're going is solely yours. Never take the direction of anybody else. Remember, I used to always say, it's better that, you know, if I'm gonna listen, I ain't gonna really, you know, I used to be real bogus with it, especially when I was, you know, financially all that, thinking I was all that. I used to be like, what? Where your research? Maybe I'd be like, shoot, you show me research and your and how I work for you. You show me the blueprints of, you know, your conclusion with your results and all your experience and all that. Then I listen. The case is that back then pretty much is what he's saying now. So, in other words, you have to see your dream, envision your dream. Those who don't have the power to dream for their dreams, right? Don't wait. And this is one point he made. Don't wait for the thief in the shadows to snatch your purse. What about the thief in your mind? He said, and we all know, the first thought most humans initially think, it's always a negative thought first. Positive thinking is always, and like I tell people all the time,
CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy. That means turning a negative thought into a positive. So the minute that you think like, oh, my husband, is he cheating? Oh, no, he bought me some flowers. You know, you go there. In other words, you know, kind of switch it out. One thing that he says you need to know is self-preparation. Prepare yourself. One thing that you cannot have, and this blew up, indecision. Indecisive people. They're going to have a hard time with success because they're indecisive. So you got to be sure of yourself. Doubt. If you have doubt, that's no good. No good for you, no doubt. No doubt. And we're not talking about the group. Worry, he said. You know, a little bit of worry, oh, well, I wonder, is all you need. Any extra other than worry, it's a doubt. Can never be successful. Let it go. Timidity. Oh, he spoke about timidity. He said some people think that being timid is a good thing. Timidity in any type of business forum, and he also tells you to structure your business. Don't mix your clients, your business clientele with your family life, your friends. You know what I'm saying? Learn how speaking. He spoke about vocabulary, how you speak. You don't want to speak to your business partner like you speak to the homie on the street. What up, nigga? You don't want to be all like that. You have to get etiquette. And when you start practicing, you start learning, it becomes habitual and it becomes a part of you. But I do know. And courageous. Be courageous. That means step out. Not just when you had a couple of drinks. Cowardly lion. But courageous. Step out in front. No fear. And kindness, he spoke of. Having kindness. Kindness is a plus. And last but not least is sensitivity. And I follow that along the lines of empathy, being empathetic. That's the, like I posted last week, I know you probably got it, Bishop, about EQ, the four elements of EQ. And I gave a brief efficacy, resilience, sociality, and empathy are the four elements of what I just said. You heard what I said. Bishop, you know what I'm saying. No, anyways, but those are the four elements that you need to have EQ. EQ is the emotional quotient, and that is equivalent to IQ, but emotionally versus intelligence. So with that, I had to drop that. I mean, powerful man, just somebody you wouldn't expect to be doing what he's doing, but case is, I mean, wow. You know, it's steadfast on me, and I've been pushing and moving. Let's do a check-in on the time. It is 1:48 a.m. This is Gina's Groove Theory. This is your KXRW, Long Beach, California, your community connection internet radio station broadcasting here, and this is Gina. Pretty much winding down to that. I don't even know if we're going to get that last hour. I don't know. I logged at about 11. I got my peoples out there. Bishop, did I lose Bishop? Oh, he might be up in those canyons up in there. Hey, Bishop, I have to send a shout out there to you. Yeah, it is. I want to share this one thing. Basically, before the end of the show, I'm going to share my testimony. Pretty much most of you guys out there on Facebook know, and you know they read it. But I'm going to share this before we end the show. I'm going to end the show with this. Not really sure. If I get that last hour, I don't know. If we pass, let's say, 2 o'clock, then it's all good. You guys stay on, logged in. Make sure that your phones are charged up and you have plenty of battery left to carry us into another hour if we so have that. And we'll ride. We'll take it on up out of here on this episode as well. Here we go. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's Carlin in Santa Fe. All righty. Oh, okay. Yes. Here we go. I'm going to share this money with you guys. Here, I'm going to go here and scan it.
Gina.
Okay. Hey,
Gina.
You, brother. I know. I see you out there. Yeah. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you can hear me, right?
just going to go ahead and share this stuff. You know, my testimony, actually. Pretty much, as far as, you know, my, I guess you can kind of say it's my, my MO, I guess, but anyways, here it goes. This is my testimony. I have been planning and actively getting out into the community to share my purpose and intention for change. Awareness is key. If my mom had been to July, I honestly would have never taken a glance at the people living on the street and dealing with mental illness and physical disabilities, to say the least. But as I have on many occasions at City Hall meetings in the defense of Department of Mental Health Services, I at one time felt as though they did back then. Before I was subjected to the on-the-job harassment and intimidation and outright right violation of my civil rights to work in an environment that I felt safe in. That was simply the fact. No, I had no prior knowledge remaining in that situation would lead me to suffer schizoid affective disorder, depression, and panic anxiety, and that it could lead to homelessness and other social dysfunctions. I was a strong, well-educated, outgoing supervisor whom my employees loved and respected. Working towards my psychology degree, holding a 3.66 GPA, but the woman that stood before them all was no longer the confident, self-assured woman she was before. And as I told many council members, fire and police department, who are trying to take the 1.8 acres of land that the United States military gave to the Department of Mental Health years ago to build a larger drop-in center for our homeless, our HAP, Homeless Assistance Program drop-in center. We are overgrowing our current HAP in the basement there at 456 Elm. So it's to appease the growing number of homelessly mentally ill and homeless people and this underprivileged people who are in need of help. I spoke frankly. I was just like all of them. I had a good paying job, a home, children in private schools, and the mentality that stereotyped and judged people based on what I thought was just their way of getting out of working and providing for themselves. I didn't even believe in sex, even though two family members claimed to have it. I doubted the fact that it even existed, and I thought it as an excuse not to work. And to the neighbors who form on the opposite side, reeling mean and insulting remarks and their concern for their children, property value in the sight of seeing homelessly mentally ill people walking through their neighborhood, at least a mile and a half away from the site, made them cringe. What I heard was ignorance and confusion about what mental illness origin and the uniqueness of each individual case. When you have mentally ill, you think wild, untamed, savage beasts running amok in your city. I can accredit that I, too, was guilty of those same bias and myths, and I accumulated it in my own words and prejudices, unaware of the facts until it happened to me. It is apparent that any one of you could lose your job, lose everything you own, and be thrown into depression, which leads to hopelessness. And maybe if your resources are good and accurate, you can overcome your losses, your children's losses, and rise above it. But many don't. Some even go farther than to take themselves and their families out of the situation by ending their lives. Ever think of what would make a person go off the deep end and kill their families? Despair. No way to see clearly, no one to talk to for help. These are all the things that go wrong in these cases. But what is good today is that we have advocates like myself and the people I work alongside to bring awareness and assistance to those in need. Gina's Groove Theory was offered to me to be a bridge to people in the community who need information and resourceful measures to take when they're in trouble before it becomes too late to ask for help. So if anyone in any family if any of you know anybody or anyone or a family member who is in dire straits, please utilize me and the people and the people that I bring to help. And let your voices be heard, people. We all have the same dream: unity through knowledge and community.
Let's keep it right. Send a prayers to all of you guys for being out here tonight. Bishop, you want to take us out on this show? This is going to be actually November 13th, 2012 show.
Okay. You ready?
I'm taking.
Yeah. Well, most of all, love other people more than you even love yourself. That way it can do a boomerang and come back to you. You need to not be so centered on self. You need to be centered on everything around you, because as you help your brethren, for some reason, God seems to help you. So I look at it from this point of view. United, being united is everything. As they say in church, we're all a part of the body of Christ. I just say to everybody, you know what? Slow down and take a good look at your life and change what's wrong, so that you can rewrite your life and let your life not head in a downfall spiral. I say right now, God bless you and your homes, and keep tuning back to Gina's Groove Thing, and tell a friend. Tell more than a friend. Tell a lot of friends so we can put the station up. And so when we look back at all the people that it has helped, that we can put a smile on our face, that we've done our part. Have a good night, and I thank you.
Thank you, Bishop. Much love to all of you guys out there, all my people following me. Check me out. I will be having more shows. I'll be bringing it to you. Much love. I love you, brother. You my heart. You all I got, man. Much love. We're peacing out tonight. It is now 1:57. I'm taking it out. I asked myself what it was that I could do to make a difference in my community after struggling through mental illness and surviving, and I came up with the question. Here it is, and this is Gina's Groove Theory, broadcasting here out of Long Beach. Ask yourself what it is that you can do to make a difference. Out. God bless. Peace, everybody. Stay logged in. Maybe we'll get that desire. If not, this is the end of this show. Stop.
Something beautiful inside of me. gotta pop a pop a.